This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I Grubhubbed one of the best sushi restaurants in Buffalo, and they brought sushi to my son and I. It was great.
At your house?
Yeah. It was awesome.
Listen to this. What a life.
And that's a very good thing to have delivered because, you know, hot is not really pertinent at all.
Don't eat hot sushi.
Right.
In fact,
I think hot sushi would probably be
terrible.
Really gross.
Don't do it.
It's Mike Shope.
Fresh hot in neon is not something you see above the sushi place.
Can I get this? No, that's right.
Fresh hot sushi. That is so gross. Fresh hot sushi here.
You get some sushi, you open the lid, and it's like steam comes out.
And the Bulldog.
Please stop.
Right, Ryan? Hey, you ever do that?
I've got nothing
you get
to
the
throw
sushi.
Up in my stomach. But
you open up the lid and it's just sizzling like a fajita.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
What are you doing in there? I'm microwaving the sushi.
Right. WGR Sports Radio 550.
So plain, not like hint of lime?
No lime.
Okay. Whole wheat?
No, get out of here.
All right, just checking.
Imagine sitting in a Mexican restaurant. Would you like chips and salsa? Do you have whole wheat?
The hint of lime is a good move, but I don't think I've ever seen that in like a restaurant.
It's always plain.
Yeah.
I also like the hint of lime.
Ugh. So I did a common mistake, common oversight or something. You're just eating the chips. You're waiting for your meal. Would you like more chips? Yeah, sure.
Who doesn't want more chips?
Right. Then almost like before the chips get there, there's the food. And you just don't eat the more chips. They just sit there.
Right.
But I thought I could put them in a bag and bring them to Joe. But Joe said no. He said no, thank you. He is not eating chips this month.
Oh. Chip for you? You doing a new New Year's cleanse, Joe, of some kind?
Yes, we've only eliminated chips. No,
he said, "Hey, I have salsa." That's not nothing. That's a start.
No, it's not nothing. I have salsa. He's like, "I'll take the salsa, but not the chips."
You're not getting the salsa then.
Well, because what I thought was
the salsa stays with the chips.
Mike made salsa last year.
Yeah,
and gave some out, and it was delicious. So I thought that might have been what was happening.
I see. That's right.
No, I'm doing the same thing I did last January. It's called Whole30. So there's no processed food, no added sugar, no a lot of other stuff. Chips is one of them for sure.
February 1st at Joe's house every year is a biggie.
Oh yeah, the first day out of
feast.
It. You can't go crazy though. Well, you're not supposed to go crazy. You end up going crazy though.
Yeah,
for sure.
Pie for breakfast and pizza.
Pizza
and pie for breakfast.
Pie and pizza. You got to say it that way.
And
pizza
beer.
And pie, pizza pie could be confusing.
And beer. All right. Oh. Let's get back to work. 803-0550, Bills Patriots. Here's Dave with us. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Great, Dave. I'm hungry now, though, and I'm sort of dying for some chips.
Me too.
Like,
sorry about that.
Sort of, now I'm dying for a crunch myself.
Sorry,
other
Dave.
Than that, I'm good. Yeah.
No problem. About the stadium, culture. We keep it. You don't put no roof on our stadium in Buffalo. That's impossible to me. I've been going to games forever. I'm 57. If it's cold, it's cold. It's better for us. I don't care if we lost to New England this year. It's better for us. all the way around. And with Devin Singletary, what took so long to give him the ball more? We could have won a few games, I think, if we gave him the ball a little bit more. I'm not saying all day long, just give him the ball, and it's proving itself to be that way right now.
As opposed to another running back or as opposed to passing?
Opposed to passing. I've always liked Singletary. I've always seen the shine in him since day one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's bad or anything, but I'd rather have the ball in Josh Allen's hands myself.
Of course that. Josh can run that ball. I know that. But if we didn't have that, I'm sure he would get the carries.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate your perspective on the dome point you made here to lead your call off. But can I ask you this question? How much, if at all, and you did say it in there, but I want to push you a little. If the Bills lose this game, and it seems like it's similar to how they lost the New England game a month ago or so, with the weather being a big factor, does that change your stance at all on dome versus no dome?
It does not, because of the last two games. I think they worked well in the last two games, and it was very cold. I mean, I was at the last two games. Mm-hmm. The Jets game wasn't as cold as the Falcons game. That guy that called and said he left, I was like, you should have been at the Falcons game. You would have left in the first quarter. I don't leave games unless somebody I'm with needs to leave.
Well, it's you're obviously pretty hardcore, Dave. Two worst teams in the league, maybe, in those games, and one was a 3-point lead in the fourth quarter, and the other was they were down at halftime. I don't know. You probably know how I feel. I want to throw the ball constantly. This team was terrible for 20 years. Then finally, they drafted a quarterback who worked out, and they threw the ball constantly, and they're elite. And I don't think that's a coincidence. It's good to be able to run the ball well. It's good to do everything well. But they're going to win with Allen, or they're going to lose. I think Singletary's fine. I've always thought that. It's never been about any sort of referendum on the running backs. The only thing interesting really to me about the running backs is that they seem to get benched when they fumble. And that even happened to Singletary in the playoffs. There was a drop. But, I don't know. It doesn't really work for me, but that's how it's happened sometimes. They're all, in my mind, Singletary has always been good enough if you want to be that team. And part of one way to be that team is if you throw the ball great, you should be able to use your running game as a compliment. It's just still going to be better for me to get the ball to Diggs, ball down the field, bigger plays, faster, up-tempo, go, go, go. Yeah. Singletary's fine. He's definitely come on, and he's interesting right now.
Yeah. The weather is going to continue to be a subject. It's just going to be so cold on Saturday night for this game, and I'm being sincere. I appreciate the caller. Dave, you said his name was.
Yep.
I appreciate Dave's bravado about it. And somebody brought it up earlier, and I thought to mention this, and I didn't then, mostly because this topic, talking about the stadium and dome or no dome and the weather and our history, the heritage of outdoors, it just can swallow the entire show if we do it. So, and furthermore, when we talked about the stadium thing last week, it's do I want to advocate for spending way more money when I don't even like the idea of spending any of the money? It's easy to get tangled up. All right. So let me just remove all that for now and just be a guy enjoying a nice, delicious Imperial Stout on Monday night after the show, watching the national championship game from the Lucas Oil Dome or Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And every time they came back from commercial and showed it from the outside, I couldn't escape this thought. And that thought was, nothing wrong with that. that might look pretty good on the outer harbor. I just kept having that thought watching the game. It's Indianapolis, it's not some mega, some giant city. It's Indianapolis, and they built that dome or stadium with a roof, however you want to call it, because it doesn't really look that much like a dome, but whatever. It's got a roof on it, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't look at that and think, I don't know. well, that would be pretty nice. I think the same thing when I watch when Matthew Collar sends pictures from his view inside, what is it, U.S. Bank Stadium? It doesn't matter. The Viking Stadium in downtown Minneapolis. And that has, like, there's a lot of good natural light in there for games during the day because of the way the roof is designed. And I look at that and I'm like, that would be pretty nice. Like, I can't lie. That does work on me.
Thanks again, Dave. Here is Mickey next. Hi, Mickey.
Hey, guys. Long wait, about 50 minutes. Well, I agree with Bulldog and Mike. I'll tell you a little bit about my journey as a Bills fan. I'm 58 years old. But, the Patriots are like what the Dolphins used to be to us. It was always about Don Shula, and he's on the rules committee. And we lose 20 in a row. Well, we're at that same point with Bill Belichick. I mean, he's Linus, or he's Lucy, and we're Charlie Brown. And if he pulls the ball away again, we won the division last year. Was the Kansas City game more important? Yeah, you're going to the Super Bowl. But as far as our psyche's concerned of what we are as a city, I mean, the Patriots are an idea of a team that dominated for 20 years. Their fans still think that's what's going to happen. Most people in the media outside of Buffalo, you know, during the season when the Patriots had their run, oh, Mac Jones is going to be better than Josh Allen. And it's just, it gets so frustrating. So, you know, what's going to happen is a huge issue with this game. And if we don't win this game, you're talking about an indictment. We're not even going to talk about Sean McDermott indictment. We're going to talk about our owners. They should go down on that sideline and stand there during the game, because that's going to be the talk if we lose this game because of weather. And there's no excuse. They are in charge of this team. They own this team. If they want a dome, they can get a dome. And it's utterly ridiculous. Now, I had season tickets from 90 through 96. I went to the two coldest games in Bills history. I started out in the early 70s as a Dolphins fan when I was 8 or 9 years old. I didn't know better. My dad loved O.J. Simpson. He loved Joe Ferguson. He yelled at the TV screen, "Ferguson, stop hanging your head." The worst loss for me was the 80 Chargers-Bills game at the end of the game where Fouts threw the touchdown and Ferguson played on a severely injured ankle. The Lou Piccone play, you know, against Cincinnati where they got the ball off and scored. I mean, Miami is the New England Patriots now. We didn't overcome that until we dominated them, until we beat them in playoff games. So if we want to snap this aura mm-hmm. of what the New England Patriots are, just because we won the division last year and we won it this year, we have not snapped that yet. This game is like the turkey leg, and it needs to be snapped. We need to have that release, and we need to teach the New England Patriots that, no, they don't get another 20-year run because they've got a quarterback like Mac Jones. But getting back to this game, if we lose this game because of weather, there's going to be an indictment, and it's going to be about this ownership and how they don't want to do something for a team that was built to pass the ball. And I don't understand why they're so stubborn with this, but if we're going to build a stadium, let's do it and do it the right way. Let's not make another mistake like we did, you know, in the past. So that's my thoughts on the game. And I've been to, you know, the Super Bowl when Norwood missed the field goal. My journey as a Bills fan, I've sat in the coldest games. I was at the comeback game, and the ball landed on top of me because they didn't put the net up when Christie kicked the winning field goal. I actually touched the ball. I mean, these are some of my experiences being as a Bills fan. So this game, to me, is not, you know, as far as the game's concerned, it's not you know, bigger than the Chiefs game, but as far as us being Charlie Brown and them being, you know, Lucy and the aura of the New England Patriots' dominance over football, them losing in the playoffs to the Bills would be huge, in my opinion.
Yeah. You please don't hang up yet, because I want to just say a couple things to you. One, beautifully done, like the entire thing, just beautifully done. Your existence as a kid growing up, you're a couple of years older than me. Your existence as a kid growing up watching the Bills sounds almost exactly like mine. I think your dad and my dad bowled together, probably. Like, it just sounds like they are the same.
My dad bowled in five leagues, and I kid you not, I wept. I cried when Fouts threw that touchdown, because I truly believe the 1980 Bills were the best team in football. They crushed the defending Super Bowl champion Steelers at Rich Stadium. They whipped the Raiders 24-7. Funny thing about that year, Bulldog, they rotated home field. If you had the best record in the AFC, you didn't get home field advantage. It was rotated. So that year, we had to go to San Diego and play. And by the way, we beat the Chargers that year in San Diego. I mean, they were Frank Lewis, Cribbs, Ferguson, yep, the Bermuda Triangle. To me, that's one of the lost Super Bowls. If you go back and look at it, we beat every good team that year.
They were the best team in the NFL, and they were the best team in the NFL and the NHL that year, arguably.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. But getting back to this game, you know, we know what people think of Buffalo, and so many people from outside of Buffalo, they think of snow, cold, and the Bills losing Super Bowls. And they think we're Charlie Brown. That's what they think of us. You know, until the Red Sox, and in Bulldog, I want to tell you something. I'm a Yankees fan. I was named after Mickey Mantle. I got his middle name. But guess what? Believe it or not, I was happy when the Red Sox won. They were down 3-0. That fourth game, they're losing. They make that great comeback, and they go on and they beat the Cardinals. And you know what? I was truly happy for them. And you know yourself, you're a Red Sox fan. This is what we're going through as Bills fans. It's like we get to the top of the hill, and we can't get over it. You know, go ahead, Bulldog. Say what you're going to say.
No, I'm good. I'm enjoying listening to you. I think that's right. I think that I don't know about like our biggest rivals fans. Like I wouldn't expect the majority of Patriots fans to go, oh, good, Buffalo won. But I think a lot of more neutral-type football fans would feel really good to see a team like Buffalo win. I mean, a certain kind of fan is like that. I definitely feel that way when I pick who to root for when I don't have a horse in the race anymore, so to speak, in either hockey or in football. I often think about the fans. Like, I think about the fan base and how beleaguered they are and how much they deserve it. I mean, it's a big reason why I wanted LeBron to bring an NBA title to Cleveland, because I feel like those fans, those are our people. Like we are all brothers and sisters, I think, in the quest, you know, to win something and have a parade. So I think the Bills would definitely qualify for that. Again, not for, you know, everyone, but I think there'll be a lot of there would be a lot of that if they pulled it off.
All right, Mickey. Thank you for being on. They would offer you some chips, but there's no way for you to accept them.
Don't start again.
I'm wrapping it up. They're already a little bit stale because it was lunch today. Just being in that bag. It's enough time to affect the chip crispness. It's just a steady downhill right from when they're brought to the table
to the
end.
Yeah, once the air hits them, it's not, it's never going to be as good again.
There's no recovering from that if you're a chip. We'll talk some more after a break. What else can we mention right here? I'm just sort of listening to today's show for lately. Let's see. Tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Thursday?
Yeah.
Joe Ostrowski, John Clayton. I need Joe Ostrowski to help me figure out San Francisco, Dallas. I have no
idea.
Did
he get back
to
you? I saw you tweeted him. He ignored you. Yeah.
Ignored.
Ignored. Left him on red. Yep.
We have to settle that too tomorrow.
Maybe muted you.
Maybe I'm on mute.
Could be blocked.
Mike Schoop and the Bulldog here.
Yeah.
A blocked, I would know. I think.
Mute, you don't know. Mute is a mystery.
Mute is way better. Let's take a break. This is WGR.
We things get cold, toes get cold. But, I mean, I feel like they do a great job. Our training staff does a great job as far as, like, the heels on the sideline, the coats. Like, as soon as you come off, like, you need a coat, they always there for me. So I feel like I'll be fine.
Stephon Diggs, obviously a key man in the Bills' Super Bowl quest, which continues Saturday night. Or starts, if you want to look at it like that. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Joe has had a game cooked up for us for a couple of days, but, you know, it can wait.
Sure, it's there.
Maybe tomorrow?
Yeah, it's not going to change.
Or we stay late and just... Actually, I can't stay late tonight. I got an errand to run. I have other commitments.
An errand to run at 7, well, I guess, yeah.
I'm sure. Picking my son up from a activity, from a function.
That qualifies.
Yeah, that's an errand. Yeah.
That's an errand.
You know, it's not the perfect word for it. Picking up your child isn't really an errand. It's not
calling,
like going to the hardware store, right, or something.
You're calling the child an errand almost.
Yeah, I don't mean to be doing that.
Well, but the actual act of having to go somewhere to accomplish something is the same. I'm all right with errand.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, to me, taking your kid to an event that you're going to sit there at is not an errand. Like, you know, my daughter has a hockey game. I'm taking her, and then I'm going to have a coffee or a beer, and I'm going to watch the game, and then we're going to go home. That's not an errand. Running her to practice, leaving, and then running back, those are errands.
Okay.
I think that's right. It's not like what I think of. I think of, like, you got to go to the post office to mail something.
Yes.
But
which is actually an errand I was supposed to do today that I didn't do. Tomorrow. It'll have to be tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're probably closed.
Yeah, that's off the table now.
Too late. Right. Too late to get to the post office.
I think there's one in the area that's 24 hours.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to guess it, or what? What am I supposed to do right here?
Well,
No, it's not an emergency.
Right? Is it? Okay. Is it that dire?
It's actually Christmas cards.
Imagine. What would be a post office emergency? Like I have to. I mean, I guess if you got to get something in
tax
on
returns.
Time. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Tax dumb return question, deadline right? would be
yep,
one.
That works.
You know,
Christmas
right?
cards could be it, couldn't it? If you're
Although,
late to them.
Yeah. I don't
know. Post this is office. For next year.
Imagine
no,
your Christmas
we did not get them done in time. We didn't buy as many this year. My wife did all of this. I'm not even really right when I say we.
No, he's sending out fantasy winnings is really what he's
emailing. My job was to get them to the post office today, and I have failed. I did not do that.
Yeah.
That'll have to be
we
tomorrow.
We are the worst ever at the Christmas card thing. I have gotten a card from you guys. We have gotten a card from you guys. I don't think my wife
year.
And I have. Okay, fine. I'm not exactly
sorry.
Keeping score.
Sorry,
I don't have
sorry.
A book.
Sorry.
I think my mom used to have a book where she would, like, keep track of who in the extended family exchanged cards. And, like, and if you went too long without sending one, then you're off the list and she stops reciprocating. Because, really, you're not reciprocating anymore. You're just giving and nothing's coming back. All right, that said, I don't think, definitely since we've never had the, like, the picture of the kids, like a series of pictures of the kids and us or the dog or whatever. We never, ever have done that one time. And I think maybe when we first lived in this house, I took a run at it. Like, you know, let's see what kind of addresses we got here, and I'll buy some cards and we'll send them out. And it has always felt to me with the way our days, our work days set up, that it should be my thing. I mean, my wife doesn't work every day or even 5 days a week, but when she works, she is gone from the house for 15 hours at a time. And so me now, or even any year, even when I used to, you know, remember when I used to come in there, right? I've got from 7 a.m. until 1 o'clock to send Christmas cards, and I just have never done it. I mean, we are the worst. Anybody out there who is a family or friend who sends us cards, I mean, I love you, thank you. We have never one time reciprocated that, ever, and I just can't imagine it changing now. We're the worst.
You make a strong case for being the worst.
I don't feel great about it, but I'm also would admit to you that I don't, despite telling you this and the guilt I feel right now, I don't feel compelled to do anything about it.
That's how I am about a lot of things. Yes. They make me feel bad about myself, but I still do it. Or not do it. Whatever. Yes. Oh, DraftKings wants me to know something. Oh, check your email. There's a bonus. I'm going to go do that. Here is Pete with us. Hello, Pete. Pete.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
How are you?
Thank you. Good. Thanks for calling us.
Cool. I just want to piggyback on what you were saying before about guys who were kids back in the day when this whole dark day started of the Bills drought. And I remember watching the Music City Miracle. I'm 33, and I remember that ending and my parents screaming at the TV and just being beside myself and thinking that, yeah, there's some kind of destiny here. And in hindsight, obviously, that is what happened. And so the fact that the Bills are in the process of just shaking off all these demons and they're about to shake off some more this weekend, and I'm just really excited for that. I love Doug Flutie, like the whole Rob Johnson controversy. I'll never let that go either. And I still got my Drew Bledsoe jersey. I know everybody hates those jerseys, but I still have that, and I'm just really excited for this weekend.
Good. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for letting us know, and hope it works out for you.
Yeah, I definitely hated those jerseys, but my advice to you would be, despite me saying that, I would advise you to just hang on to that stuff because you never know. I saw a guy last night at the hockey game in a Jitnik Goat Lord black, the black home jersey, and Jitnik was always one of my favorites from that era to begin with. And I said to my friend, like, that looks beautiful to me right now. And I don't know that I've ever felt that way about that jersey.
I have never asked you today about the game. So you're in the building. It's an awful game, right?
It was awful. I mean, I did say a few times to, because we ran into quite a few people we knew, that, at least these goals aren't bouncing in off people's jockstraps. I mean, like, Tampa was making plays. I mean, it was globetrottery. So, like, you got plays. So that was cool. But, they were all on the wrong side. So, that was disappointing. But, as far as, like, an exhibition of hockey talent, you saw something last night. It was lopsided in your, against our team. But still, it wasn't the worst. You could have been to a lot worse hockey games, I would say.
Okay.
Like, I've been to a lot worse hockey games where, like, nothing interesting happened really at all. Nothing pretty. Nothing like, ooh, what a good play. Just sort of, ugh. And that wasn't this. I mean, it wasn't a good display by the Sabres, but Tampa was really impressive.
What about the crowd?
Crowd was tiny.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what numbers were, but there weren't a lot of people there at all. Not any kind of surprise, And again, in a certain way, we're walking around the concourse during an intermission, no long wait for beer, and like, easy to catch your friends walking by because they're not in a clump of people, like just wall to wall in the corridors. And even, we got, I left last night at like 6:15 and you finished off pregame. And I said to my friend, like, this isn't bad. Like, he was waiting out front in a running car and I jumped in and we were there well before the anthem, and when there's 18,000 people in there, you're not doing that. For me, maybe you can make it, but I would have been stressed out about leaving here that late to go to a hockey game because of traffic and parking and just getting in there. And this was like, going to a Bison game.
This was 8,000 announced.
Okay.
8,368. So undoubtedly fewer than that.
That's their average.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like you're at the season ticket number or something. Like, that's the number of tickets for all the games. How many people are in there is not the number you get. Okay, well, I don't need to press. Just, I haven't been in there this year.
Yeah.
Season tickets for 15 years. Got rid of them, or at least temporarily. and I've wondered, you know, when a friend friends at a game, like, tell me, talk to me.
I had thought, I think I even might have said before going to a game that I'm going to be very curious for how it's going to feel. Like, am I going to feel sad? Am I going to feel depressed about all of it? And that really didn't happen. And I think that that is, you know, largely, if we were going to games all the time, or if I had been going to games all the time, and like even before this happened, and there wasn't a year with no fans, and then, you know, two seasons that are truncated and all that, like, getting in there was novel enough that I never felt depressed about the state of things sitting there. You know, I know what the state of things is. You know, I went to use the cup holder on my seat, and if I had put my beer, if I hadn't held on to my beer, it would have fallen right through the cup holder.
Uh-oh.
And they're all like that. Like, they sell those big cans now, and I don't know if they're more slender or what, but, like, the cup holder will hold a cup. It'll hold a plastic cup, but it will not hold, and maybe it's always been that way. I just never really noticed. Maybe I'm not one who uses cup holders that often. I don't know. But, like, there's definitely stuff you could be bugged about, but none of it resonated with me last night. I was with a friend I haven't seen a whole bunch in a couple years, and, you know, I'm sitting there right behind Andre Vasilevsky for two periods, and I enjoyed that. So I didn't take time to sort of take stock and look around and, like, oh, this is so sad. I mean, it is, but I didn't feel that last night because I was just excited to be there.
Yeah, you kept your mind off of it.
Yeah.
Here's Tom with us next. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I called to talk about the Sabres, but a couple quick Bills comments. First of all, I say no dome, and I got a funny story I can share with you about why no dome. And as far as anyone having trepidation about our coaching staff, there's probably 25 teams that would love to have Sean McDermott on the sidelines. And the caller about an hour ago that said, you know, you look at Pittsburgh and you look at New England, they've got longevity and consistency and stability with their coaching staffs. And I think that's huge. So I think that we all need to take a chill pill, regardless of what happens in the playoffs, because I think we got a good coaching staff for whatever that's worth. I'll get to the funny story about why no dome later, but I was watching that Sabres game last night, and obviously the Lightning, you know, are the Lightning, and I used to live in Tampa, and I used to be a season ticket holder, but the Sabres are my number one team, so I love the Lightning too, but it seems lately when we play the Lightning, and this started a couple of years ago when we had those two games, I want to say in Sweden or Finland, we played the Lightning. Somebody got hurt on a cheap shot and was out for a while. Yep. It might have been Dahlin, maybe his rookie year. Then we play him again a few months later in another injury that was on a borderline play. And then when we played him earlier in the season, Stamkos made head contact with Dylan Cousins right in front of the ref.
That was,
no call.
That was
no
filthy. NHL. Great memory. That was filthy what Stamkos did that night. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely. And I like Stamkos, and he didn't need to do it. Yep. He was wrong, and he absolutely went for the guy's head. I'm convinced of it. And nothing happened. And last night, I mean, with my ass of lead and hands of stone, when I played beer league, I could have scored on the Sabres last night because nobody would have touched me. So what I'm getting at is we need to find some players in addition to the great group of young players that we have. And I like this talent, and I like how they're developing people. They're not rushing people out of Rochester out of desperation. You know, I believe in that process. But we need some grit and sandpaper. And I don't know if it's on the roster right now. I don't know if it's going to be Alex Tuck once he gets back into a groove or if it's going to be Brett Murray again. Somebody has got to push back. And, you know, nobody did last night. Zero. I didn't see how Lukanen got hurt. I saw the guy from Tampa fall on Subban. And I'm like, where's the pushback? You know, and I'm not saying we got to drop the gloves every single time, but nobody got, you know, drilled into the boards. Nobody got cross-checked at the end of the whistle to say, hey, buddy, what the hell are you doing? And, of course, nobody dropped the gloves. So my question to you, before I get to my final comment.
We're probably not going to have time for another, you know.
Fair enough. Got it. But anyway, where is this grit and sandpaper and toughness, whether it's a Lucic in his prime type of player, or whether it's, you know, a Reeves or Ryan Reeves type player, something that can give us 12 to 20 goals and still drop the gloves and intimidate the crap out of
probably on another team, right? Or in junior hockey, or in college hockey, or something like that. I mean, does it matter right now? Maybe it does to you, and but does it matter right now if the Sabres had that player? It doesn't to me. It's just meaningless. I mean, they need more talent. They're not rushing guys up. They absolutely have been rushing guys up. Some you can understand why, but that's not like there has not been this visible concerted effort to not do that. We'll see.
Well, they've out of necessity pushed guys up. Like so that's different than just like, well, we think the best idea right now is for all the young guys to be here. I mean, they could have done that, and they haven't. They could have kept Quinn here last night. He might have been their best player last night, and he went right back down.
Luke in a little bit.
Yeah. Well, again, necessity.
In the beginning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I just didn't think it sounded like something that they needed credit for.
Yeah. Okay. I think the point – look, we've been around and around and around on toughness and grit and fighting and its role in the game. And, you know, I have been probably in a lot of different places. I don't think it's the most important thing. And really, the point I want to make here doesn't necessarily pertain directly to that. But watching that game last night, maybe as early as 10 minutes into the first period, I said to my friend, someone is going to, or maybe it was after Pat Maroon fell on Malcolm Subban, and Subban was clearly hurt, and he's clearly really seriously hurt because he's out month to month despite finishing the game because the other goalie had already been hurt. And I neither saw what happened to Luukkonen. He just didn't come out to start second period. Whatever, I think Joki Haru is on the scene when Maroon falls on. He kind of pushes Maroon into Subban, and I'm just watching that, and I said to my friend, like, Maroon, and there's another player on the Lightning that I can't think of right now. Maybe Corey Perry was the other one. Like, these guys have just got to, like, before the game and as this game is going on, have got to realize they are about to have the easiest night of their lives.
Yeah.
Like, there's just going to be no pushback at all, whether it's physical or just, you know, is this team any kind of a threat? Like, you're going to go, like, John Hayden's going to go up to Pat Maroon and try to make things right. Maroon's going to go, like, dude, whatever. I'm going to be eating a steak the size of your freaking head in 2 hours. Just shut up. I don't have time for this. It's barely even a pit stop. just leave me alone. Like, it was a totally different class of team that was in the building last night, and they weren't going to be deterred or bothered if somebody pushed back. I don't think the Sabres, as they're built, are capable, really, of pushing back in the way the caller is intimating or just playing well enough in a game against a team of that caliber. They got run over, and you could see it coming a mile away.
Perhaps even before the game started.
Right.
By looking at the line. Minus 300. Okay, this should be easy. Back after this, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Usually within two or three drinks, people start to feel those vasodilatory effects where they start to feel flushed and warm and kind of get that, you know, warm euphoria that people get with alcohol. Although it typically at one or two or maybe three drinks, depending on the person's size, they may still have their judgment intact. But you start going beyond two or three drinks and it's going to start really impairing your judgment, which could be catastrophic in these type of environmental conditions.
Good to know. That is Dr. Sam Cloud, who was on WBEN today. Don't drink too much.
He did say two or three, you'll feel the warming effect, though.
I love the warming effect. Not trying to pick a fight with Dr. Sam Cloud. I certainly respect him. We are almost out of time. Sneaky Joe tonight, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A good job. You know, a lot of days we spend sort of bouncing around the league. Today we did almost none of that, which is fine. Did want to mention a stat from Chase Stewart at Football Perspective. He does a great job with little interesting little nuggets about the NFL. And he had a point on Tua and how, like, there's a coaching change there and what will it mean for him. He says that the last 20 quarterbacks who were top 20 picks in the draft, which Tua was, and had a winning record after two seasons, which apparently he also has, all started week one of year three. Mm-hmm. 20 for 20. This includes Peyton Manning. It goes back at least that far. Top 20 picks who had a winning record after 2 years. The last 20 of them all started week one of season three.
We'll see if that happens for him.
I would bet against it.
I think I would bet on it because I think that that's part of why they fired Flores.
Right.
That he just was not on board.
They feel like he sort of helped create this dissatisfaction with Tua.
There is the Watson thing is sort of like, okay, yeah. New plan, Deshaun Watson, right? And they're the team for him that everybody has sort of assumed. So we'll see. I like that little note, though.
There's room on the bet board.
Josh Allen. Yes, there is. Josh Allen is also on that list. He did have a winning record after two seasons as a starter.
Right, because he went 6-7 in his rookie year.
Was it? They lost all the games in the middle there where he didn't start. Sounds about right.
No, Barkley won the Jet game, so it wasn't all of them. Peterman lost two.
Okay, Anderson.
Anderson lost one, so 1-3 maybe in the other games, although I think I'm at too many games now.
Right, he didn't start week one.
5-6. 5-6 he went.
5-6 and then what, 10-6?
Then 10-6, yep.
Okay, yeah, so he's on the list too.
Yep.
Joe will have more for you. Conversation with Sneaky Joe next. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow at 3. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.